Jimmy lost his pen early this morning, so now he has found it. If you have your Bibles with you, turn to Matthew chapter 2. We all know this story of Jesus, the birth of Jesus and everything, and as we look at it, we want to think about some things this morning as God's epiphany. As we think of the word epiphany, sometimes we have trouble pronouncing it. Sometimes we don't even understand what it means. And so therefore, a lot of times when we don't know what things mean, we have a tendency to discard it. Or as Baptists would have the tendency to do, we rename it. And so epiphany could be revelations, or it could be other things. But as we look at this, we want to think about it, and we want to ask ourselves this question. When was the last time you had an epiphany? You're sitting there going, okay, preacher, you just tried to tell me a little bit about that, and I still don't know when I had an epiphany. What is it? Well, an epiphany is when one of those moments in life when something profound is presented to you or revealed to you. Some of the younger guys today have got what they call in simulcast the aha moments. What was the aha? Oh, yes, I remember that time. That's what we're talking about, an epiphany. And as we look at this morning, we want to look at God's epiphany. And as we think about that, what is it? An example of an epiphany that we might understand with Albert Einstein, his mathematical equation, E equals MC squared, to him was an epiphany. That was something that he discovered, and it was something new, and it was revealed to him. How many of us have had things revealed to us? As I've been on Facebook with a lot of our youth and those types of things, one of the youth ministers got on there and said, we had 16 kids Wednesday night at Bible study. And I thought, what an epiphany to have that many young people interested in being in church on a Wednesday night. That's what we're talking about this morning. Something that has been revealed. And what has been revealed to these young people that they want to come? It's not easy for young people to come to church today, is it? But what is it that makes them want to come? And when we hear about it, we found out it's His grace, God's grace, that has been revealed to us. And yes, some of them are coming because of girlfriends and boyfriends and that kind of stuff too. But the real reason for us to come to church, to come gather together in any event, is to what? To have God reveal to us those aha moments. And as we think about that, we see that we do have epiphanies all the time, don't we? We do have it. Today, as we talk about it, we see that we're going to learn about God's epiphany. We're going to see two things. First of all, we're going to see an epiphany in His Word. And the second thing we're going to see is the epiphany in our lives and how it works. Now, in this text, in Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12, we see the story, and I'm not going to read that because everybody has read it. But I am going to give you a quiz on it today because since everybody has read it and everybody knows it, you already know the answers. How many wise men's were there? We sung it earlier, didn't we? Wrong. Not three. We sing three. We teach three. But it's not really three. Or is it? Why do we say three? Because there were three gifts given, wasn't it? But there were actually more than that. There were a bunch of them. Some have dropped off by the wayside. And so as we think about that, we sing We Three Kings, and it was more than that. And we don't know exactly how long it took for them to get to Jerusalem to see the baby Jesus. We also know in the scriptures that He says what? They went and we see it in our live nativity scene. We see it on those we put on the mantle. The wise men went to the stable to see Jesus, didn't they? Yeah. How do I know that? I've seen it on the nativity scene, right? You got a cow, you got baby sheep, you got the shepherds over here and the three wise men's over here, right? No. It says that in the scriptures here, it says what? He went to the house. Wait a minute. Jesus was born in a stable. And now the wise men went to a house, didn't they? So you see, people began to think that the scriptures are wrong, but Joseph and Mary only stayed in that stable, what? Temporarily, until they could move into a house. And so we see that the kings are from where? The Orient. We, the kings of Orient, right? Where is that? Anybody seen that on the map? Where is that? Where do you find it at? We see that it is probably Babylon or Persian. Today it's probably known as modern Iraq and Iran. So we see that they're not from what we sing in that song, is it? And we also find out that song has a lot of discrepancies, don't it? And isn't it great to know that the hymnal is not God's word? It's something we sing out of. And we do get some theology out of it. So now that you've had it, we also look at the word Magi, M-A-G-I. What is that word? It's an interesting word. We translate it in English today to mean wise men. And we have a tendency with Greek and Hebrew, when we can't find a word, then we make up words. We do what they call a transliteration. We just pull down words, letters to make words. And so we see that Magi was wise men. And this term is used to describe astrologies. It's used as magicians, sorcerers, pagan priests, and even those involved in occults. These were the wise men. And we see that these wise men came because they saw a star. Have you ever wondered, why did these wise men see a star and decide to follow it? Why? They didn't know anything about Jesus, did they? They didn't worship God. How did they know that? Remember, the term Magi means it came from ancient Babylon. Now, as you think about that for a second, who was in Babylon in the Old Testament? You remember the story? You remember Daniel? He was carried off, remember? He was taken and put into the king's court and refused to do what? Eat of the king's stuff. He was strictly a Jew and stayed with the Jew. And Daniel told the stories. He interpreted dreams, and therefore he was put in the same class as wise men. And he got to meet all these other people. And therefore Daniel told his story about his God, Yahweh. And so when we see this story going on, he's telling them, just like today, 50 years from now, 100 years from now, people should hear the story about Jesus because of us. And so Daniel told it, and they remembered that. And we see that their faith and their understanding of God was weak and limited. And they looked to the stars for answers, and they saw this one star that was brighter than any other star. And because of what Daniel had told them in the history lesson that they received, they decided to follow that star. The Magi believed in it, and God put that star up there for them. Why? How else would we get the word of God out? Today we could shoot it in an email, right? We could post it on Facebook, and it will go all over the world, right? How many people have friends on Facebook that are not living in the United States? You know, I do. I found my brother, I didn't know I had, James Denton in England, on Facebook. I've got a guy down in Australia, and I stay in contact with him, and I can tell anything, and it can go out all over the world, can't it? And we can always post on blogs, can't we? And people all over the world read those, so we can advertise it. But God used a planet. He used a star for these people to see, and they followed it. God created it for that purpose. God led the Magi to see a great epiphany. He led them straight to Jerusalem, to the capital. What had puzzled the Magi is that everyone in Jerusalem, when they got there, they began to ask, where is this person that we've come to see? And most of the people in Jerusalem didn't even know. What are you talking about? This King of Kings, this one that's going to be king, where is he? And they had no idea where he was.
They didn't know that he was living in a stable, in a feeding trough. They didn't realize that. And then as they looked around, they finally got to King Herod, and King Herod said, we'll find out about this. And he brought in all his sorcerers and wise men and all of those. And this is what the scripture says. This is what they said. In Bethlehem in Judea, they replied, for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people, Israel. It wasn't the star that led them to David, to the city of David, was it? It was God's word that led it. They heard it from Daniel. And it's God's word that will lead us also. And these magi left their homes seeking the truth in a star. How many of us have sought God's truth in the word? As we look at it, as we think about it, the Lord graciously led the Magi to see the truth, and he led them to his holy word. Today, you and I have it. We don't have to follow a star. We have to follow the scriptures, which is our star. And then he led them to the word which was fulfilled, the king. The word of God is an epiphany within itself. If you do daily devotions, how many times have you read a devotion, and in that devotion, it really spoke to you and just got to you and said, wow, God's speaking to me this morning. That's an epiphany. This is what we're talking about this morning as we think of this word. Revelations, dreams, visions, whatever you want to call it, it is God speaking to us, and it is something that is happening to us that hadn't happened before. An excitement. God has revealed his grace to us that we may know him. And that's all God wants out of life. For us to know him and to love him. That's all he's ever asked for us, isn't it? That's it. He hasn't asked us to do anything unusual. Just love him. Is that so difficult to do? Is to love a God that provides us with everything? And as we think about that, just stop and consider the blessings God's revealed in our lives today. Where were you at when you accepted Jesus Christ? And if you've been born again more than 5 years or 10 years, what has he done in the last 25 years in your life? What has he done in the last week in your life? What was your epiphany yesterday? What is it today? And as we think about that, we see grace being revealed. And we see that Herod, as he looked, he went around looking and finally found it. The answers. But that's not what he wanted. Do we carry our burdens around handling things ourselves, attempting to solve our own problems and those of the world rather than giving them to God? Sure we do. But guess what? When we do that, that is a miserable epiphany, isn't it? God has given us his word. He has revealed himself to us, and he wants us to be involved with him. We have a Savior that will save us from all of that. Looking at our lives. It's some vague notion or sign that reveals us truth to us. God's word reveals us his grace. He gives it to us. How many times have we looked and tried to picture something in our minds of how it would work, look like? I have a friend of mine down at Bon Air Baptist Church in Richmond, Virginia, and she's working there with special ministries and everything. I got an email from her the other day. Pray for us as we walk. We will be prayer walking downtown Richmond in the areas of the low income, the slums, the prostitutes. And we will be walking down the streets praying for those people. And as I thought about that, I thought, wow. How many people will feel the effects of God because somebody's walking down the street praying and never know they had an epiphany, and that's why it was done that. Because prayer is what? Powerful, isn't it? God takes everything He gives to us and He uses it to reveal to us. Either we're going to act like Herod did, or we're going to act like the kings, the wise men, aren't we? Once it was brought to Herod's attention, he was enraged. Why? The king of the Jews? What was Herod's title? King of the Jews. He didn't have king of the Jews, but he was king because the area that he was king over was what? The Jewish territories. And so if this guy is going to be born and he's going to become the king of Jews, guess what? He's going to knock me off my throne. Right? So as we think about that, we see that as he looked, he wasn't wise because he looked at every way he could to wipe out. He had babies from 2 years old and younger killed so that he could wipe out Jesus, that he could keep his kingship. And that didn't work, did it? How many times has this Bible been burnt, thrown away, tore up, and yet it still lives, doesn't it? And it is still as plentiful as it ever was before. And once it was brought to his attention, he suddenly tried to do everything he could. He went on a mad killing spree. He did everything. But God's grace does battle even with our sinful hearts, doesn't it? When we rebel against Him, our little kingdoms, deep down we want the king of our lives. We want control. When I was a child, I hated authority because I was a curious little kid. That's another way of saying a bad little kid. I was very curious and I got into things. And I was told I could do this, I couldn't do this, I had responsibilities, and my parents gave me rules and regulations, and I didn't want to have to do all of that. And when I got older, I looked at them and said, I will be glad when I'm at the age of accountability, when I can go on my own, and I don't have to do all of this anymore. And how many times do we tell God that? God, I'm an adult now. God, I don't need you to tell me what to do. I know what to do. I read your scriptures. And I can figure it out on my own. And that catchphrase, I can do it myself, sounds like what? A little three-year-old, doesn't it? And isn't that exactly what we sound like as a little three-year-old when we look at God and say, I can do it on my own? We wanted those fine clothes we wear, the foods that we eat, the craving of reality, the labels, the name brands, and all of that for our kingdom. And when God speaks to us, we go on that rampage, just like Herod did. Another king. But God still keeps coming to us. He continues to reveal to us His grace, doesn't He? He shows us how He can be our king. And Arthur once put it this way, for He replaces everything He takes away. He takes a loved one, He replaces that person. He takes away wealth, He replaces it. He takes health, He replaces it. He replaces all He takes with Himself and all that His kingdom has to offer, hope, life, and salvation. God doesn't want our DVD players, our computers, our any of those types of things. He doesn't want that. The only thing God wants in life is our heart. That's all He wants. And once He has our hearts, everything else pales in comparison. And that was the Magi's epiphany. That should be ours. God had revealed His grace to them, and God reveals His grace to us each and every day. It wasn't the gold, the frankincense, or the myrrh. The greatest treasure is Jesus Christ, the light of the world. That treasure moved them to share other treasures in worship. And God's grace leads us to be more like the Magi, unlike Herod, doesn't it? God revealed His grace in our lives. The gifts that we bring to our Lord comes from our hearts. When we give our tithes and our offerings, are we giving from our heart? Are we giving out of habit? Are we giving because there's an usher standing there passing the plate and we don't want to let them see us not give something in the offering plate? What do we do? Why do we give? Have you ever thought about that? Why do we do that? Are we giving because of what God has given us? When we open up the treasures of our lives and offer them in humble service to our Savior, things will happen. Do you have time on your hands? We think not, but we do. Spend time with the Savior. Offer an hour to the Lord to visit someone in the hospital or to shut in. Have you been blessed with wealth? Give glory to God. Present Him with gifts in His house, in this church, in this community, foreign missions, home missions, and all of the others. Have you been blessed with a voice that loves to sing? Then use it for His hands. Do you have two hands that you can use? Fold them in prayer for someone in need. Do you have two good feet? I like this one. Two good feet. Use them to carry to your neighbor's house and invite them to church. Use them to do good, to share. Do you have a heart? It's been said this: you can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. Did you hear that? You can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. Christmas time. A lot of times when we give to that little red kettle out of there, it's not out of love, is it? It's because that person sitting there ringing that bell, and now they use that God bless you. And if you don't give, they don't give you a God bless you. Or if they do, then you feel so guilty. And so then when you walk back out, you make sure you've got some money to put in there. And you don't give because you love. You give because of what? You have to, or feel like you do. And that's what God is saying. We will give because we love. If we love, we will give. God has proven it to us. He gave Himself for us, didn't He? God's love is revealed in His words. And His love is reflected in our lives as we worship Him with our lives. Now that's an epiphany. And wouldn't it be great as we leave this worship service that we have come to worship Him, sing the praise hymns that we have, and worship our Lord Jesus Christ and listen to His words, and then at the end of the services when we leave here, we go, wow, now that was worship. That was an epiphany. Let us pray. Father, we thank You for this day that You've given us and this opportunity once again to be a part of the family of God. We thank You for those epiphanies that we see each and every day of our lives. Those that we don't see, Lord, that are there for us. We pray that each and every day we will begin to see more and more of those things that You've given us. Thank You for Your Son, Jesus Christ, to be able to come and to be born on this earth, to serve, to die, that we may have life and have life more abundantly. Father, thank You for Your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This morning, the hymn of invitation is given, and as we sing the praise hymn that we have, it is an opportunity for you to make decisions in life. We invite you to come and to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Just slip out and come to the aisle, and I'll be standing here to pray that prayer with you to make sure you understand. It's an opportunity this morning and an invitation for you to come and to rededicate your life, to ask God to show you more clearly those epiphanies that He's given you. It's an opportunity and an invitation for you to come and to join this church. As we stand and sing our praise hymn of invitation, you come as the Lord leads.